So we're going to look at Siman Chaf in Hilchos Tzitzis on page 59. Halokech talis mitzuyetzes mi Yisrael o mitagor eino Yehudi kosher. I think the issue here is, who do you trust? If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, he writes mi Yisrael. Do you have the place?
I don't have
it. Oh, you don't have it. The equivalent of page 59.
I have that, that's why.
Oh, that could be a technical problem. Want to get yourself out. So he says he doesn't know that this person who's selling him the tzitzis is kosher. You know, there's no official tu'udat hechsher.
There's just in the news, tzitzis that were...
Right, the apostle that was selling it. But he says, "Afilu hachi talinen v'stam yisro v'cheskas kosher hu." If I'm selling you tzitzis, you have to rely on me, even though you don't know me, that every Jew is considered innocent until proven guilty. He's kosher until he's proven to be a shakron, chas v'shalom, and trying to bluff and sell you something. And therefore you can rely on this seller, that there are three pu'ulos that make tzitzis kosher, and they all have to be done lishma. One is tviyo, which means when you take the different threads and you combine them together, right? So you spin the threads, then shizarim, you have to make them into individually wrapped, you know, they have to be wrapped around in such a way, and then you have to attach it to the beged. All this was done lishma. Unless he has proven himself in the past to be a liar and a cheat, and he's no longer reliable. Now, the Mishnah Berurah tells you that if you want to learn all the rules and regulations of a chashud, because sometimes a chashud is not so suspect, sometimes even if he was on one occasion suspect, but he can change his status and do tshuva, reinstate himself, you have to look in your Yoredeya Siman Kuf Yud Tes. And this has a lot to do with the laws of Kashrus and the laws of Nida and different laws of ritual law. Now we're talking about tzitzis in Or Chaim, and the same rules apply. You know, when is he a chashid, and how does a chashid reinstate himself and clear his reputation? But I would say that this part of the discussion here at the beginning of this Siman is not such a chiddush. The big chiddush, this is like almost like dropping a bomb here, is he says, O mitagor eino Yehudi. Now we're talking about a non-Jewish person who's selling you tzitzis. Why would you rely on him? That's a pella. So if you take a look at the Ramah immediately adds a comment. He says, V'omer, this guy is claiming, Shalakachan, he purchased these talisos, Mi Yisrael, from a Jew. In other words, he's in the, you know, the buying and selling business. He's the middleman. What's that called? Retail? You know, he's in the retail business. So he buys tzitzis and he sells them for a profit. And he claims that he bought it from a Jew. Once again, the question arises, okay, so he's a professional seller, you know, he's in the market business, but why does he have that money? Why do we trust him if he's a guy? And Adrav, maybe we could ask the question even more severely. If he's in the business, isn't that more of an incentive for him to fake around and sell you something that's possible? And the Mechaber writes, "The came of the Tagar who chazaka shalakacha mi Yisrael, delo mari nafshe." Those are the three key words: delo mari nafshe. Meaning that if a person is in business, even if he's a guy, he's trustworthy, because if we find him, if we catch him on a lie and we taint his reputation, he's going to lose a heck of a lot of business, especially if he's in the tzitzis selling business. I don't know too many goyim that buy tzitzis, so the market here, as far as buyers are concerned, is exclusively a Jewish market. If the word gets out that this guy is selling us, you know, en masse, he's selling tzitzios that are psuos, and he's pointing and he's faking it out and saying he bought it from a Jew, you know, we could actually ask him to identify the Jew from whom he bought the tzitzis. We could go back to that Jew and confirm that in fact he bought it from that Jew, or the Jew might deny that he sold it to him. At that point, the guy loses his entire reputation. this is called, in the language of Shas, which is codified here in the Mechaber, Lomari Nafshai. We have a Chazok on a Tagor, on a person who's in business, the Lomari Nafshai. He would not risk his reputation. Avolim Lokach Meinu Yehudi She'eino Tagor. If his reputation and his livelihood is not on the line, you know, he just is selling you a pair of tzitzis, but he's not in the business. So he doesn't care about his reputation. If he can squeeze you for a couple of bucks when he's pointing off on you a falsh tzitzis psulos, he might be doing so. Again, it doesn't mean we have to go around and accuse every single John Paul of being a thief and a liar, but on the other hand, we need special nemunas when it comes to the dinim of lishma. Lishma is not easy. You know, you need a Jew who made the tzitzis lishma, put on the tzitzis lishma on the beged. So let's go through the Mishnah Berurah here. He says in number Beis, Omitagar eni Yehudi afilu eni muchzok liknos talisos rak muchzok liknos shar schoros. Interesting. This is a brilliant chiddush of the Mishnah Berurah, which he quotes in the name of Chayona. What happens if this guy is selling you tzitzis? He's not in the tzitzis business. He'll tell you, if you press him, where he bought the tzitzis, where he got it from, which Jew he got it from. But he's not in the profession, you know, he's not in the market for selling tzitzis. He sells hay. He sells animal food. I don't know what he sells. But the answer is that the Jewish community as a whole will judge him by whether or not he's reliable. If he's caught cheating, it doesn't matter what he was caught cheating in. It still reflects very poorly, to understate it, on his reputation. So he'll lose a tremendous clientele. Now it's a little bit more complicated here about this Chayi Adam. He says, as we find it to be a shakron in one thing for sure, lo yaminu bedover ach, they don't believe him for anything else. There's a little bit of an assumption here that is a bit weak, if you ask me, but because if he's selling tzitzis professionally, then his market is exclusively Jewish, and obviously if he loses his nemunas, that's it, you know, you could close shop. But if he's in many different businesses, then his sales and his profit margin is coming from non-Jews as well as Jews. So let's say, for example, he sells apples on the market, and he claims that the price of the apples are weighted blah 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 is so and so. Maybe he's lying. So even if the Jews would suspect him for lying, they're going to put up a sign, you know, like what we call here in Israel a pachka villa. They put up a sign that says this guy is totally unreliable. He's a shakran. He's a cheat. He's a thief. Okay, so he no longer has to go into the Jewish neighborhoods. He can sell his wares elsewhere. So if this man is an apple seller or a cotton seller or he has a clientele amongst the goyim. Unless we assume that the Jewish people make up a major part of his income, not just in tzitzis, but even in apples. So let's say, for example, the city is made up of 50% goyim and 50% Jews. He's going to lose half his clients because he sold posel at tzitzis. He knows that he depends upon the Jewish clientele to purchase 50% of his apples. His sales are going to just drop very quickly once he cheated someone on a pair of tzitzis. But again, if you're talking about a larger metropolis and a market that expands way beyond just the Jewish community, like classically in Jewish history, you don't find that half the city was Jewish. You know, there were Jews in the city, but you know, if you go back to Frankfurt am Main, you know, or even Spain, you know, back in the day, or Austria, or any of these countries, you won't find that the Jews made up the majority of the city. So he has ample clientele, even if he circumvents, even if he ignores the Jewish folk, the Jewish community. Alternatively, maybe even if the Jews make up a small percentage of the city, they can ruin his reputation even vis-a-vis the goyim. I don't know. That's a little bit of a stretch. I don't know how much, how much intercourse there was between the Jews and the non-Jews classically in history. more likely we're talking about a case where the guy really needs the Jews for his purchases, you know, to make his profit. Now, in Noba Gimel, he quotes the Levush. The Levush says the following: Ain't sarach hatagor lomar shekana mi x. Let me explain what I mean. Let's say you purchase tzitzis from a Yisrael, and we've established that in the case of Yisrael, he's neman, he's believed. Well, what is he believed to say? I'll give you two choices. One is he's believed to say that he bought it from a reliable source. The other way of saying it is that he has to say to us he bought it from so and so. And the answer is, says the Levush, afilu mistam Yisrael. Even if he doesn't designate, he doesn't specify from whom he bought these tzitzis, he says, I bought it from a Jew. That itself is enough. Kimo b'Yisrael shekana b'Yisrael. Just like in the case of a Jew bought it from another Jew, if he's selling you tzitzis and he says he bought it from a Jew, that's good enough. You don't have to ask him and check him out and say, well, what Jew? Give me his number, give me his email address. You know, I'm going to ask him if he actually sold you these tzitzis. V'chein mashma mishar achronin. It would seem, says the Mishnah Brura, from analysis of many other achronin, they also agree to this point of Levush. The Efshon is possible. The Gama Ramah Sover Kane. If you take a look at the Ramah says that the Chazokah Shalakacha Mi Yisrael. Okay, that's in the case of a guy. It says Halukeach Talis Mitzuyetzis Mi Yisrael Amitagar Eini Yehudi. The Omer Shalakacha Mi Yisrael Neman. It means that the tagger is neman. Not that we go back to the Yisrael who sold the tzitzis to the guy, and we check out if he is reliable to say that it was kosher. But rather, once the tagger says, "I bought it from a Jew," then we don't have to check out the Jew. And the Ramah says neman. It means that tagger is neman b'diburo, that he actually bought it from a Jew, but we don't have to. Do bedika, you know, bedika zaynikim to make sure we know which Jew he bought it from, and the Jew admits and concurs that he sold it to him. The Hosef Ramah Zeh. Now the Ramah writes, the Omer Shalakachan Mi Yisrael Neman Lahoros Lano Asvar the Dafkal Diburo Samchin and Mamin Lo. To lomar nafshe lomar sheker, mashenki b'stoma lomar nafshe al yideze. In other words, there's a difference here between a guy and a Jew. He's saying that in the case of a guy that we have this principle called Lomari Nafshayu, that he's not going to lie, we trust his word. However, let's say he Masha'enke Bistoma, if he doesn't tell us that he bought it from a Jew, then Lomara Nafshe Al Yideze. Just 1 second. Why is it Lomara Nafshe Stoma? He's differentiating between the case where the guy says, I got it from Yisrael. I see. In other words, at the barest minimum, the guy has to say he bought it from Yisrael. He doesn't have to identify the Yisrael in such a way that we can check him out, that we don't. But he does have to mention that he bought it from a Jew. Take a look at the Ramah. The Ramah's language is Omer Shalakachan Miyisrael. If he just sells it to you without claiming that he bought it from a Jew, that's not enough. And that's the indication of the Ramah. Now the Levush and the Mishnah Berurah says the other Achronim also agree to Levush. that the Tagar does not have to say that he bought it from a Jew, that he bought it from a specific Jew. A Mistam Yisrael Kosher. What is the Ramah saying? Let's just go over this. The Ramah is saying, Aval Omer Shel Kachan Mi Yisrael Neman. Let what? Ein Sarach. Omer Shel Kachan Mi Yisrael. And the Levush is adding that that's not necessary. He doesn't have to tell us which Jew he bought it from. And Ramah says that what? That Omer Shel Kachan Mi Yisrael Neman. It's the Tagar's Nemar. So Ramah says, also the Zel Horos. The impression I get here from this Mishnah Berurah is that although we're not going to check out the guy, but we do require that the guy tell us that he bought it from a Jew. And I'm trying to think, does he have to mention the Jew's name?
He got in the time. He has the money and all across the board. You know, I mean,
who the guy?
Yeah.
Well, again, if you take a Levush, the Levush is saying ain't tzarich hatagar lomar shekana minema. In other words, he doesn't have to single out a Jew and say, "I know he's a reliable Jew, and I bought it from a reliable Jew." He just has to say, in a general sense, "I bought it from a Jew." Now, at the end of this Mishnah Berurah, he quotes the Ramah, who says, Neman, the Tagar is believed the Diburo. Oh, I think what he's saying is that the Ramah is not arguing with the Levush. The Levush's point was that the guy is Neman because Lomari Midiburo, but he's believed, and we don't even need to check out the Yisrael. Shu Neman Midiburo, and we don't have to check him out. We don't have to put him to the test. The Ramah is so, is Gama Ramah Sover King. So the word Neman here is referring to the Tagar. Now he says that the Ramah adds, in order to understand, make sure it's clear to us that we rely on his Dibur, we believe him. Velo Mora Nafshe Lomar Sheker. Again, it sounds to me, I hope I'm not misleading you, that according to the Ramah and the Levush, the guy has to mention that he bought it from Yisrael, that he has to say that he bought it from Yisrael, but once he tells us he bought it from Yisrael, we could rely on that statement. From Yisrael. But if... See, the one or two possibilities, I'm not sure which way to go. Either he has to say he bought it from Yisrael and mention that Yisrael by name, or he doesn't even have to do that. He could just mention that he bought it from Yisrael. So the language of the Mishnah Berurah is a little bit perplexing to me. He says, I am a Levush, Muchach, Minei, She'ein tzorach hatagor lomar shekana minemun. Uchach she'ein hatagor tzorach lomar shekana minemun. Again, is he saying that he does have to mention his name? Afilu mistam Yisrael kosher. Now, what does he mean, Stam Yisrael? Stam Yisrael means that he's not known to be a Neman. You know, he hasn't created some sort of a reputation for himself, a CV of being a Neman. But nevertheless, his name has to be mentioned. So when he says, Afilu mistam Yisrael kosher, means Stam Yisrael, even if he's not. If he's not proven to be a Neman, you know what I mean? He doesn't have a resume. Then he says, "V'chein mashma eshel gamar amos over kim v'tevas Neman koy al atagush unem v'dibura." See, because the Rambam writes, "V'Yisrael Neman," which sounds like it's not enough for the guy to say, "I bought it from so and so." He has to identify so and so who's in the business, meaning who has already a tried and true record and a reputation. Just one second. So it comes out, I just want to get the summary of this all. It comes out that although the Ramah seems to indicate that the guy has to specify someone, and that person has to have a Chezkas Neman, right, and only then and only then can we rely on these tzitzis. That's what the Ramah seems to be saying, but we're not going to read it that way. We're going to try to reconcile the Ramah with the Levush. So we're going to say the Ramah doesn't require that he identifies the Jew who's a Neman. I have a feeling, again, if I understand this correctly, that all we're going to require from the guy is that he said he bought it from a Jew. Beyond that, we don't have to investigate it. Which Jew was it, and then go back to that Jew and figure it out. Yeah. The only funny thing that bothers me is that even though the guy sported from any Jew, he's not able to say, well, I did the best job I could, which means I made sure that the Yisrael who's selling me the tzitzis is a Neman. That we're not going to require him to say. Okay, Dlomar Nafshayu. Now we're up to Dal. I am Mogadav from Shkosim. Dafka Gabi Talas Bitzitz Yosea Samchinen Al Svar Zum Aminim Lo Mishum De'ein Derech Nochri Litos Tzitzis Bebigdo Aval Liknos Tzitzis Osir Af Mi Tagar. Shemalohaya Hatviya Vashazira Lishma. This is a little bit perplexing to me. I mean, I thought we were saying that the guy tells us that he bought it from a Jew. Oh, I see. He's differentiating here between a beged and tzitzis themselves. In the first case, you have a beged that has tzitzis on it. Why would a guy put tzitzis on a beged? Again, it's possible he's doing it just to cheat the Jew, but if you leave that on the side, ain't derech nochri litlos tzitzis bebigdo. So if he's selling you a beged and it's got tzitzis on it, you can bet your bottom dollar that he bought it from a Jew and he's selling it now to another Jew, making a profit on the deal. Aval liknos tzitzis, let's say he's only selling tzitzis. Now there are a lot of dinim that apply to tzitzis. You're going to come home, you're going to want to put the tzitzis on the four corners of your beged. How do you know that tzitzis are ksheros? Shema lo haisa tviya vashazira lishma. So don't buy tzitzis from a guy. You could buy a beged sheyesh lo tzitzis, but not tzitzis. V'chein posa kataz derechayim v'yesh makilim b'zeh. V'chein v'artzis hachayim, that's the Malbim, I think, would be Yeshua's Yaakov. sheskimu deecha de esek atagor uliknos tzitzis mi Yisrael velimkor mutar mitagor. Because again, why would, you know, to the same extent that you're telling me that a guy wouldn't normally put tzitzis onto a beged, I would say the same argument, and normally a guy would not make tzitzis. I mean, do you know of any beged that guy would wear with tzitzis? There's no such thing. So therefore, if he's making tzitzis, that would be a ridiculous kind of thing. More likely he bought it from a Jew. We could rely on his claim that he bought it from a Jew. But apparently there was some who wanted to differentiate. They said if he sells you a beged with tzitzis on it, that's one thing. A guy doesn't put tzitzis on a beged. But if he's selling you the tzitzis themselves, maybe he just wove the tzitzis and he didn't have in mind the... And he's not capable of the Shema, I should say. All right. Let's talk about a slightly different topic. Let's talk a little about Shechiyonu for a minute, and then let's go back to discuss Sheamus. You know, if you have tzitzis that apostle, do you have to put him into Sheamus? So as far as Shechiyonu is concerned, if you fast forward to page 61 for a minute, which is Simon Chav Beis, we have a one-liner here. He says, Kana talis vi asa bo tzitzis mevarach Shechiyonu. Now it sounds like he's saying that the moment you own a pair of tzitzis, that possession, that acquisition, requires a Shechiyonu. Delogar mikelim chadosh. If you acquire a brand new suit, you make a Shechiyonu.
It's just the
talit. Say it again?
The talit gadol that's made of wool. Because it's a mitzvah, right?
Let's see if the Mishnah Berurah says it's still right. The konatalis ain lahakos to al kelim chadosh tzarach lo varek b'shas kinyan v'loma kosa vi also bo tzitzis. Well, wait a second. I understand that. You know, yes, if he doesn't put the tzitzis on the beged, it's not such an exciting beged that he's dancing in the streets that he would make a Shechiyonu on. He's only excited because there are tzitzis there. Let's see, the Yeshiva, the Dachik, Shekona, Begit, Shuroi, Lubosh, Kemoshu, Azmavar, Miyadavol, Shekona, Begit, Lassus, Men, Malbushin. Ah, you hear what he's saying? In the Mishnah Berurah's mind, it would seem that this talis is a very chashuv beged. It's something that you would wear even if there were no tzitzis on it. And he's saying, therefore, when you buy the beged and you could wear it as is, even without the tzitzis, is shakona beged shu roy lulbos kemo shehu. Yeah. In other words, you only make a bracha on something that you could wear. Right now you could wear it. So let's say, for example, if I buy wool, you know, virgin wool, and now he's going to cut it into strips and he's going to make a suit out of it. You know, they have those rolls. Have you ever seen them? You know, different materials, those very long rolls. And then you cut off, you know, you order a certain... He says, on that you don't make a Shechiyonu because it's not royal levisha now. It's not really a malbush. In Kana Begit Lassos Vimena Malbushin, that was the case I just gave you. He buys a very considerable amount of raw materials. Oz Lo Yivar Hafili Akash Enigma. Even if you took this wool, these strips of wool, and you made a full-fledged beged, you would not make a bracha. Rak b'shas levisha dafka. The bracha of Shechiyonu is to be recited at the moment that you wear the beged. So in other words, there are two moments of time in a Beged that you would recite Shafiyon. One and two alternative. Either the moment you acquired it or the moment that you wear it. But even if you want to make the bracha at the time that you acquired it, it has to be roy lilbosh. It can't be just the raw materials from which you're going to weave a Beged. It's got to be a Beged mamash. The hacha lo ain't a royal lifsha taken, right? He doesn't have tzitzis on it. So he purchased this beautiful, beautiful talis, the tzitzis are not on it. He cannot recite shafiyotu. Delo tzarech la'atu bo tzitzis. I think that's pretty clear. So again, you can make a bracha b'shas kinyan, but only if it's royal lifsha. So it's not just kinyan and luft, you know, because you own materials, you know, because you've got to beg it, and all you have to do is put it on your body. So you may not have to wait until you put it on the body and wear it. You can make the bracha as early as your kinyan, but that's only because that's a kinyan, a royal levisha. In this case, he's got a four-cornered garment without tzitzis on it. He can't. There's no way that we can allow him to make a bracha on such a talis. Fine. Now, what does he mean when he says the logara mikelim chadosh? And the mechaber says, "Aval einu varch shachiyot al mitzvah." Oh, wow, that's a good question. Why shouldn't he make a bracha on the mitzvah of wearing the tzitzis? Instead, he's making a bracha on the kinyan of the tzitzis. And the answer is, "Kevon di einu ba mizman lizman." That we don't recite a shachiyonu on a mitzvah because we can only make a shachiyonu on a mitzvah that is time sensitive. In other words, if the mitzvah applies only during a certain period of time, then you could say shachiyonu v'kimonu v'gyonu lazman hazeh. But in the case of tzitzis, which is there's no limit in time, there's no room for shachiyonu on the mitzvah itself.
Even though it isn't just a mitzvah by day directly.
I guess mizman luzman is different from what we call zman grom. You're right, day as opposed to night, which is the Rambam Sheet in Tzitzis, is zman grom. But that's not what he's talking about. Shechiyonu doesn't mean that on every mitzvah station zman grom, I'm going to make a shechiyonu. It's something called eno ba mizman luzman. Meaning that there are certain times when during the year, like calendar dates, when that mitzvah pops up and is generated. That's called shechiyon. He says, "Lefi ze im asat tzitzis bebeged shahaylo mikfar afshalo haybo tzitzis meolam ein tzarch levarch shechiyon." Now wait a second. We said that the shechiyon would either be b'shas kinyan or b'shas levisha. Now he's talking about a beged, beged that he had, and he had never put tzitzis on the beged. He had never put tzitzis on the beged.
So before we were talking about shachianu for the sake of the beged, not for the sake of tzitzis.
You see, he's saying, Ruvain, that the excitement that a person has is when he acquires tzitzis,
right.
Meaning a talis yesh bo tzitzis, which he can wear now. In this case, you're not acquiring a beged. This is a beged that he had in his wardrobe for the last 20 years. Now, for the first time, he's putting tzitzis on it. That doesn't engender a shachiyonu on acquiring a beged because he didn't acquire the beged. The beged was his. Now you might ask, well, at least Chach let him make the bracha at the time that he puts on the tzitzis, because this is the first time that he's been mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis with these tzitzis. And the answer is, but that's not enough. That's not enough to warrant the shechiyon, because the mitzvah itself, since it's not bo mizman lizman, does not justify a shechiyon. Shechiyon means. Shechiyonu v'kimonu v'gyonu l'zman hazeh. But it's very interesting because I think he's saying that the Mechayev of Shachiyonu in this whole Sima that we're learning is the Kinyan HaBeged. But we're adding another condition, a tag on. It's got to be a Beged that's royal with tzitzis. I mean, a Levisha. Okay, let's see if we just finish this up here. Im lo birach b'shas asiya, takin asiya. Right, what do we say? Either the kinyan or the levisha. Ah, I know what you mean. So again, you require a beged, it's got four knuffos, and now you want to make it royal levisha. Since it has four corners, you can only make it royal levisha if you add tzitzis. So when he adds tzitzis, he makes a bracha on the levisha. I'm sorry, start again. When he adds the tzitzis, he makes a bracha on the kinyan. That's what I meant to say. But now, what about a person?
Yeah, bracha is shekhinah.
I'm talking about a shekhinah. I'm sorry. The whole discussion is about shekhinah, right? So now, what happens if he did not make a bracha when he attached the tzitzis? So he can make a bracha at the time of the Ituf Rishon. What does he mean by... Until now he was saying that kinyan... you know, I think the word Ituf maybe means... It means Levisha. Is he talking about Ituf as a Kiyuma Mitzvah, or is he talking about Ituf as a Levisha? A secular Levisha, I mean, not a Mitzvahical Levisha.
Ituf is like the Hittatik.
So now... you hear what I'm asking? What does Shas Ituf mean? He just finished telling us that it's not a mitzvah bo mizman lizman. I think the satef here means levisha. Levisha. Because the two options for Shekhinah, either b'shas kinyan or b'shas levisha. You know what always bothered me? I mean, it's not the gift and tzitzis per se, but what happens if he wears it in the store just simply for the sake of trying it on? Now, usually I think you try on something before you pay for it. So it's not really yours at the time that you try it on. So that would make sense to say Shekhinah. Well, let's say I bought something, and I tried it on, and immediately took it off. And then I bring it home and I wear it. Can I make a Shekhinah when it's really not the first time that I'm wearing it? I wore it already once in the store, albeit not for a long period of time. I wore it just for a minute, but I convinced myself that it fits. Is that called a levisha? Maybe that's not called a levisha.
I think there's a different state when you actually own it.
No, I'm saying here's the scenario.
I'm giving you a very strange scenario. This is not. I'm not telling you this is common,
but you pay for it. And you tried it on. Let's say usually you try something on in order to decide if you want this. But let's say for whatever reason, let's say you bought it for me, and I told you my shoe size was size 8, so you got me a size shoe 8, right? So now I meet you in the store, and it's already purchased, and I try it on, and I'm very excited that it fits. Maybe she'll give the sales lady give you another half hour until you if you want to exchange it, right? So you don't. So within that half hour, I try it on. Now I go home, and I wear it for the first time to a chasen or wherever I wear it. Can I make a shakiyoto when I already wore it in the store? This could be particularly nageya to issues like sphira and avelus, where we try to avoid a shakiyoto. Well, let's say the halacha says you're allowed to wear even something new, you're allowed to wear if you're going to make a shakiyoto on it. So you have to know whether you can make a shekhinah. I already wore it once, but maybe that's not called wearing it because I just simply tried it on and took it off.
I would think if you have the state of mind, if you have the kavana to say, well, I'm going to put it on now, I'm going to make a shift, and I'm going to make it later.
That's good enough.
Right.
I was thinking maybe it depends on your simcha. You know, maybe, you know, since you wore it already once, maybe you don't have the same simcha. Well, no, on the contrary, you know, when you wear it to the, you know, to the, you know, to the occasion or whatever the occasion is, to a bar mitzvah, chasna, whatever it is, then you really have a simcha when you're wearing it for the first time.
Right, and especially, then going back to the scenario, when you put on something where you know you're going to take it off soon afterwards, it, you know, is it still called, you know, it may not be appropriate to make a shekhanah.
Right. Just like, for example, you would not make a bracha l'sati, but since if you're going to immediately take it off, that's not called a levisha kvua. So maybe even as far as shechiyonah, you need a levisha kvua. But I'm just asking, let's say you didn't make a shechiyonah because he realized he was taking it off. Now he puts it on as a levisha kvua. Is he excited enough once he's already worn it? I'm going to assume, yeah, he's very excited about it. Let's go back for a minute. I know you have to go, but just for a minute to Chaf Aleph, just to, as an introduction. Chutei tzitzis shenifsiku. So what do you do with tzitzis after they become possible? Do you put it into Shemus? Do you put it into Gniza? He says, Yachol lezarkon liashpa. You know, if I told this to my students, they would be shocked. They would say, what do you mean, my brother? How can you throw tzitzis into the rubbish bin? So there are two concepts in mitzvahs. There's something called a cheftshel mitzvah, and there's something called a cheftshel kedusha. For example, sefer Torah or tefillin is called a cheftshel kedusha, and you can't throw it out. You know, you have to put it into gneiza. But then you have something called a cheftshel mitzvah, which has no kedusha to it. So tzitzis, for example, we have to treat with respect as long as we're using it for the mitzvah, but once nifsiku, it got cut off.
You just put it in a bag and throw it out separately.
Possibly, I don't know. But he says just throw it to the ashra. You know, this is very shocking for us because our minhagim are very different. If you take a look for a second in the Ramah, and then maybe we'll pick this up more in when we have more time, he writes, Yesh omer di af li'achar shenifsiku ein linog behem minig bizayon lezarka b'mokam aguna. Oh, maybe this is your pshara. You don't throw it in the rubbish bin, but you don't have to put it into gneiza. But yesh medagdikim legonzon. So for example, in some cases, if you go to a base measures that's ancient, you know, you'll open up some sefer and you'll see tzitzis inside, you know. Have you ever had that experience? And you wonder, hey, who put the tzitzis in there? But maybe that's the Ramah, that you don't want to throw it out, but you didn't do gneiza, it's not a cheftshel.